Anything else before we get started?
Baba Booey.
What a start. Again, the look, again, she's smiling. She's like, why did I sign up for this? Why did I do this? All right. From Reese Pfeiffer Hall in the campus of the University of Alabama, a new beginning with the women's ice hockey team on campus and a new era with the Alabama Frozen Hour. A lot of recaps set to happen for action for as many episodes as we produce as this. Maybe some collaborations, definitely some special guests, but it's all going to be a lot of fun, a lot of relaxed conversation here as we get things rolling. Welcome to everyone watching around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson. That's Preston McElhaney. That's Hannah Alpern. Very proud to be with you in Tuscaloosa, Alabama for the first edition of the Alabama Frozen Hour. My friends, a little bit of a labor of love to get this going and to get things rolling, but how about this room? How about the setup for first off of being in Reese Pfeiffer Hall? And I didn't even know that this room existed. I mean, I knew the building existed, but I didn't even know that this room existed. But when we were looking at places to do this and places to shoot the show, this was really just one of those. What the moment I walked in, you guys saw it earlier when I talked in the group me and on text that. This room just screams podcast setting. It screams casual conversation. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it screams more Christmas party. But absolutely, no, I'm definitely loving the vibe we got going on here.
I was talking to, and we'll talk a whole bunch about the coaching staff and everything, but I was talking to a coach, Anya Laxton, before this, and she said that she agreed that this is the perfect place with it's fall, so pumpkin spice latte in one hand, a book in another. Such, is this where you could picture yourself like doing your study sessions or just decompressing?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like I could like get some like serious studying done in this room. Like, it's very quiet and no one would interrupt me in here. But I also like, I didn't even know this room was in here for the amount of time I spend in this building. Like, didn't even know this room existed, but glad we found it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a maze in Reese Pfeiffer Hall.
Absolutely. I feel like if I were to study, I'd kind of have a chair over here, book in hand, scarf around my neck, and a pipe in my mouth as I'm just reading something that's super stoic.
I just wish the fireplace lit back here. There's like no actual like fire in here. It's just kind of stone. I don't even think the chimney actually goes up through this place, but maybe we could get an electronic screen or fire behind here or something like that, because all we've got for our centerpiece right now is a hockey puck, which is kind of hard to see. You were joking this was almost a coaster with the way it was looking earlier.
It's my favorite paperweight.
But welcome to the Frozen Hour for those who are watching or listening. So just to give you a kind of preview of how this is going to go. So for those who don't know, I'm the voice for the Frozen Tide. Preston is our color analyst, the first one doing these, and our ringside reporter for all the TikTok and social media, though, as you'll detail in a little bit, not as much recently as you would have liked to,
right,
in terms of not getting the reporting side of things, but we do what we can to make sure the team functions in that regard. But the way this is really going to go is it's going to be very much a relaxed conversation throughout all our episodes. We're going to certainly focus on the seriousness of recapping games and talking about what we've seen from the teams. And in some episodes, we'll preview the upcoming series that the women's ice hockey team will have here on campus. But it's going to be a decent amount of fun. We'll try to keep things lighthearted and not too serious in that regard, like most other team podcasts are. But I think it's appropriate for us to start first and introduce ourselves and how we've gotten to where we are today. And certainly I'll start with you, Hannah. I quote our colleague Ian Eagle in that he's told us that you could talk to 100 different broadcasters about their journey and how they've gotten to where they are today, and you would get 100 different answers. So what would you say the journey has been like for Hannah Alpern from the moment you knew you wanted to be involved in sports media to now being very much involved with the women's ice hockey team and the plethora of different things here at the Capstone?
I would say I knew that I wanted to go into sports at about age like 11, probably like fifth grade. I remember exactly where I was. I was sitting on my grandpa's couch, and it was like ESPN was on one morning, and I saw Erin Andrews, and she was like talking to these like NFL players, and I was like, that's so cool that a woman and like females doing that. And that's from that moment, I knew that's something I wanted to get into. So ever since then, I was involved a lot in high school with like my like little high school like news channel broadcast, that kind of stuff, and was like the voice of like reporting on like sports and like events that were going on, that kind of aspect of it. And then when I got to start touring colleges, I was like, I knew I wanted to go to a school with a big, like, sports was like a lot. It meant a lot to the school and the community around it. But I also wanted something that had a good sports media program. So coming to Alabama was kind of like a no-brainer. And as soon as I toured it here, I fell in love with it. And then got in, got accepted. And then freshman year, I took a bunch of sports media classes, journalism-based classes. And then towards the end of my freshman year, the applications to be on the communications team for the hockey team came out. And I was like, wait, that's so cool. That's something I want to be involved in. So I applied, had an interview this summer with Savannah and Mia. And it was amazing. We hit it off and got accepted in the program. And over the summer was just doing a bunch of like preview work on it, looking, watching a bunch of hockey games, whether it was NHL or college hockey, just reviewing anything I possibly could, trying to get as much knowledge as I could, because to be honest, hockey was one of the sports I didn't know as much about, but I knew I wanted to take the effort to learn and make that effort. So yeah, and then we came to campus, met everyone for the first time, and it's been amazing ever since.
Now, I love what you say about not knowing hockey, but a willingness to learn, because there's so many in this industry, at least when they start out, not necessarily through the entire time, but there's so many who go into this and think, well, I want to cover the NFL, or I want to cover the NBA, or other sports. And there's some who say they want to cover the NHL because of how incredible the league is, but especially because now we have the Professional Women's Hockey League that's starting this year and going into next year. And this is a prime time to get involved, especially in women's hockey, and especially for a lot of people who haven't been to a women's hockey game or haven't really been immersed in the hockey environment. You've got some of the most athletic people in the world playing on hockey, because you think about why they have so many line changes and rotations, because you're skating nonstop up and down the ice, and you're trying to also make mental decisions and weave around the puck and do so many different things that that once you get immersed in it and you realize how incredible the sport is, then you immediately get hooked.
Right. And that was something that like attracted me so much to the game, was how fast paced it was. And it reminds me of soccer in the sense that like there's always something going on, and it's not like football where it's like a play and then stop or a timeout or something. Like, yes, there are timeouts obviously, but like it's constantly going, and that's something I am really attracted to when it comes to sports. So
now this guy, he didn't really know that much about hockey getting involved into this year, because I remember you telling me when you started prepping for your role with the team that you had to immerse yourself in the rule set and formations and strategies and those kind of things. But you are very much immersed in the Alabama community, especially on the football and basketball side. Like, I would be surprised. I don't know what the number is on the amount of Tide loyalty points this guy has, but I imagine it's way above some of the thresholds. But similar to what I was talking about with Hannah, in that there's a different journey for everybody, and there's no cookie cutter way in this business. So what has the journey been like for Preston McElhaney from the moment you knew sports media was your thing to now being very much involved in the world of sports here at Alabama?
So, I mean, you said it. I mean, I've been involved just in so many different ways with all these different sports. I think for sports media, specifically, what it was that I started interning with Tide 100.9. They're a little local station affiliated with Town Square Media. And I started doing sports writing for them, and I started going to local high schools and writing articles and covering stuff. And I wrote about so many things, from softball to basketball to football to rugby, just the most niche things you could think about. And I was learning so much from working with the other people there and all this stuff. And my friend Jaselyn, who also worked there, I found out that she was involved with women's hockey. And she told me about maybe like a position opening up for commentary, because I mentioned that was something I wanted to do in the past. So when I found out that was something that I maybe was interested in doing. I decided I wanted to do it. I had been doing PA announcing for Holy Spirit Catholic High School for a little bit for their football program. And I was like, you know what? I'll do hockey. I don't know nothing about it, but I'm willing to learn. I mean, it's grow the game. We're growing it for everybody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're right. There's a lot of different directions I want to go in. But shout out to our girl, JC Lynn Conger, who's incredible. If you haven't had the chance to work with her or interact with her, you should during your time here at the Capstone. She's just amazing. And I love how, you know, in your case, I remember when you and I first met and we were talking about doing the on-air roles, you had done some on-air reporting for high school broadcasts, like on the radio. You did scoring check-ins in that regard. But yes, other than that and PA announcing, you never really had a full rotation of like live broadcast work. So the fact that you were willing to immerse yourself, especially in a sport that you didn't really know about, what would you say is the biggest lesson you've taken in the short time that you've been in your role?
I think the biggest lesson I've taken is to kind of like be patient. Even though the sport is very fast-paced, I think waiting for the opportunities to say the right things are a lot better than trying to just walk up in there and just say a bunch of things that don't make sense or work.
Right.
So that's kind of been my biggest takeaway with hockey is, as fast as the game is, watch it closely, but don't let your brain move as fast as the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we were even talking about this, and we'll get into this series with High Point, but this past weekend we arrived early on Saturday to watch the men's game against South Carolina. And I remember mentioning to you that we felt kind of privileged in that we were starting to call get form of ice hockey that is not as fast of a pace. Because on the men's collegiate side, or even when you get to the National Hockey League, it's just they're so freaking fast. Like it is so high of speed and trying to get things going. Not only that, but at the collegiate level, you've got, so from the women's side, you've got 15-minute periods and practically no intermissions. Men's side, you've got full NHL length periods, and you've got almost about 15, at least in that series, it was about 15, 20-minute intermission. So I don't know if you felt that way, if it was a faster pace with the men's side, but at least to me, that's where I'm thinking, okay, I'm glad I'm at least easing my way into the ice hockey side, because I started with high school and then going up to the women's collegiate side.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. And like, especially like with the men's, the thing that I noticed most, like, yes, like I think the speed is much faster. Obviously there's longer intermissions, but what I was noticing the most watching it was the physicality level.
Yeah.
Obviously for women, there's different rules and regulations that are in place. But for men, like the body checking constantly and like the amount of men that I watched go into the penalty box, I was like, we don't even get this in women's. Like, this is crazy, but...
Yeah, there's a lot more intensity in that circumstance, but you've also got, in the women's game, you cannot check people into the boards. You can't do any sort of physicality in that regard, where they will immediately send you to the box if you have any sort of opportunity. So you don't get things stirring up. You don't get the pot. Now, now again, we'll talk about it in the High Point series. There was a lot of emotion stirring up on that weekend that we witnessed. A brief story about me. I'm a PhD candidate here at Bama. I am the youngest of four siblings. My sisters have been involved in sports their entire life. Same with my brother's the oldest and two older sisters. So I traveled around with my sisters during their volleyball days and was helping them with line judge, water boy, you name it. And eventually my high school's basketball team I was volunteering for the volleyball side. Eventually they said they wanted film study. And since I was already traveling with the team, they said, hey, here's a camera, here's a tripod, Spencer. Since you're traveling around, we're going to have you film the games anyways. And basketball eventually called me, said the same thing. They wanted film study. One thing led to another. I was my high school's film guy. And we were on a bus ride during my junior year down to a football game. And our school's headmaster showed me a website where you could use a tablet or smartphone to stream games. And he asked the question, what if we tried broadcasting our games? Put his trust kid, who was 16 years old, Bluetooth headset, iPhone 6S, call everything. And I ended up, it was 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night, from 3 to 5 volleyball games a night, 3 to 5 basketball games a night, Friday night lights, of just calling everything for my school the entirety of junior year. And then the summer between junior and senior year, I was thinking about things I wanted to do, what it is that I wanted to achieve, and just decided there was nothing else I enjoyed with my life more than being a sports broadcaster. And certainly between that point in high school and all the way through my undergraduate and master's program, there were a lot of opportunities I was fortunate enough to have in starting broadcasting divisions for my community college, started their media club that's still running to this day. I finished up my undergrad degree and got my master's at Middle Tennessee State University, and helped with starting their chapter of the National Sports Media Association. Had several opportunities on ESPN Plus and Middle Tennessee News, their sports division, for calling tennis, a bunch of other different sports, and then came over here to the capstone and of freelance work with Crimson Tide Productions on the SEC Network and calling games for Alabama's adapted athletics program. And then, similar to you guys, the application came open, and put my name into the hat for the play-by-play side, and interviewed with JC Lynn at the time, Rachel Hooten, who was the director of communications, and there's also Savannah Prefontaine, who we'll get into talking about so many of the great people that we get to call our bosses every day. And we just had the interview, got the notice that they wanted me to be the lead voice from there, and gave a couple of suggestions, and they said, hey, do you want to be our assistant director of media? I said, yeah, sure, I'm fine with doing that. And so far, it's been a lot of fun, especially through the first couple of weeks of being able to see some games. And the good news is we have a little bit more content to talk about on these recordings. So, you know, we've got certainly games to talk about, but one of the things I know we wanted to do heading into this first episode is talk about sort of the buildup. Because especially when you're starting something, there's all this initial jitters, and there's this anxiety and challenges of thinking, well, how is this going to go? How is this going to work out? I know from an executive standpoint, the people above me had way more anxiety than I ever did of thinking about how are these things going to go or how will these things play out. But from the behind the scenes side, and I'll start with you on this, Preston, from our part, media, we didn't have a whole lot we had to do leading up to game day, other than we had one media training session with the equipment. We made sure that things were kind of configured. We also attended media day to get final stats and things and start talking with players about some notes or personal anecdotes that we wanted to talk with them. But I guess from your experience on a behind the scenes part, from the point of you getting the email saying you're hired to that first puck drop, are there any stories that stick out in your mind?
So I guess the first part for me was just learning hockey in general, because we've established before that that wasn't something I knew going in. So I remember sitting down and eating my spaghetti that I cooked, and I pulled out my phone and I Googled hockey.
I like
hockey.
How very specific it is with eating spaghetti. Was that bolognese sauce, or is that like meatballs? Do you remember that?
It was meatballs, man. You gotta add the five senses to every story. So I'm sitting here on my phone, and I'm looking up, you know, the basic hockey rules on YouTube, learning the stuff. And then the guy in the video starts off, we already know the basics of hockey. So, and then I'm like, well, no, I don't. That's why I clicked on the video. So I basically had to learn through kind of just watching a lot of old footage. We, of course, went to practice and saw, so yep. I got to get a feel of the sounds and the sights of the game, and learning, you know, my zones and the crease, and learning about bar downs and icing and all these other things that I got to learn over the course of a few weeks. And then I guess most of the stress comes from tunnel vision, because you start thinking ahead, you know, you're like, we are the first to do this for women's hockey, so how do we set the precedent without making the program look absolutely terrible?
Sure.
So it's like a lot of pressure on you to start off strong and bring a lot of positivity to the foundation of the hockey team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I will say, to give you some reassurance, you definitely have not made the program look bad. And
that's
in your work.
That's assuring.
You definitely raised the bar high on that regard. But I love what you brought up there about going to see practice, because we had our first all-staff meeting like a couple weeks before media day, and I remember talking to everybody saying, hey, because for those who don't know, the ice rink is at the Pelham Civic Center up in just south of Birmingham. So about an hour drive from the campus of Tuscaloosa. So as you can imagine, a lot of us carpool together to try and save on resources in that sort of circumstance. So we, with our carpooling, there's a lot of banter and stories and things. But I remember telling the people who were in my car, I think it was just you and I that night for that first night of practices. And I remember saying, I do want to stick around for practice. And I think I told the media members of that too. which said, let's at least look at practice, start looking at some things behind the scenes and focus on this stuff, which, by the way, we'll get into a whole bunch of shout-outs on our crew, but a big shout-out to Jaden Watson, Andy Sukalis, are people behind the scenes who are running this right now. But not only that, but on game days, with these two work hard. Like, some of the hardest working people that I know in terms of the getting the equipment set up and troubleshooting things and working with our partners at Black Dog Hockey to get these all things situated. So thank you to those two. So we were, met each other and said, hey, so I at least want to watch practice. You guys don't have to stick around, but I mean, you had to because you carpooled with me. But I told the rest of them, let's at least watch practice a little bit, not just to necessarily make ourselves known, but at least so we can get sort of an idea. And I know you were running around on that first day with JC Lynn and other TikTok members and talking about stuff, but you guys were also getting content captured as well.
Yeah. So the first practice, we were there. We had our meeting before practice. And then during practice, I know like all the TikTok girls, all the Instagram girls were like getting content and everything. And I was kind of just like standing on the bench when like a player or coach would come over, introducing myself, interacting with them, just so that like I could kind of get a feel of like, okay, this is someone's personality. Like, these are the kinds of like questions you could go with towards them in like interviews and that kind of stuff. Just like trying to feel out the vibe, but also like getting some content and knowledge in the back of my mind going forward in interviews, so that I wasn't going into the first series completely blind. Like, I had some questions to ask about practices and that kind of stuff. So kind of just, I took the first practice as looking forward into the rest of the season. How can the team build on that?
Yeah, especially in your case, you're doing, or at least the plan is, and I guess we can go ahead and get into this now, because I'm sure there's a lot of other stories you could think of behind the scenes stuff. But so your role, you were hired on as TikTok reporter, hasn't been the case the last four games, has it?
No, so not at all. I mean, I have done some interviews, which I've been super thankful and blessed to be able to do, but there've just been some certain things where I'm needed in other aspects during a game, or something comes up and an interview isn't able to happen that day. And obviously I wanna learn all aspects of the game and what goes on in the production side of everything. So some games I'm doing the clock and the scoreboard and other games I'm doing PA for like inside the rink, which is still like, I'm still getting my voice out there in that kind of sense doing PA, and I'm just like happy to help this team in any way they need it. And it's the upbringing of this team from when I was talking to them during that first practice, and they were saying it's just so cool to see what this team has come from wearing taped on numbers on jerseys last year to now being an actual team and having fans at games is so cool.
Was that at all intimidating that first time they said, hey, we need someone on PA, so we gotta have you do it?
Oh, 100%. I was like, you trust me with a microphone? Like,
you should ask Preston. He could have given you a couple pointers, because you've done that for, you said, Holy Spirit football a couple of years, right?
Yeah, it's all in the chest, boys.
It's all in the projection.
Gotta use that diaphragm.
Side of things. And I've heard your work on that on the Holy Spirit games, too. You got some good pipes, certainly. And
Thank you.
And you also know how to deliver at the right moment, because shout out to another colleague of mine, James Shannon. He's always talked about he hates PA play-by-play guys. Those who are there are some PA guys who are calling the game on microphone in stadium while the play's going on when they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But there's some guys who are excessive going on and on. But PA, you've got a good grasp of, you're supposed to, and it's also different in hockey too when you have other sports, but you're supposed to announce what happened, which player it was, what's the next result. In hockey, it's once stoppage is done, you announce who scored, who assisted on it, you know, team goal in that regard, or penalty, 2 minutes or 4 minutes or major minor for this kind of stuff, and that's it. You're not, there's a clear difference, and I'm sure you could speak more to your experience. There's a clear difference between your PA work and your analyst work.
Yeah, so I don't remember what school specifically I went to, but when I was working for Tide 100.9, I did go to a school. It might have been McAdory, I don't remember, but we went to this high school to listen to do stuff for a football game, and the guy on PA was doing play-by-play, color, and PA all at once. Specifically remember one call where a player got tackled, and he yells, "Oh, that dude got Scooby-Doo on that play!" And I'm just like, man, what? I'm like, how's this not a violation of every, regulation in the book?
Now, I will say, James has done that before, but he made sure his microphone was off for on the PA system before he started doing analyst work and would swap in between those or like swap headsets with microphones and everything. But yeah, when the microphone's on that goes out to the PA system and such, I mean, I like the analogy of he got Scooby-Dooed, but I don't like the circumstances.
Yeah, and I'm talking like in the middle of the play. I'm like, why don't the officials go up there and tell him to stop doing that? Because they didn't.
Yeah, that's one of those where it can get a little excessive. Like, again, there's a fine line between if a PA announcer says something objective and or like the organist in a baseball stadium plays Three Blind Mice.
Classic.
There's a strike of ball in that regard. So there's a clear line, but that kind of treads that line a little bit. You know, behind the scenes wines for me, it's been awesome to just see how this is really kind of developed. And one of the things that stands out most of my mind, Media Day was a lot of fun, especially because you think about the amount of TikToks that were set up, the whole photo things, like you had pretty much every, it started off, I can't remember which player, but it started off where one of them said, hey, let's do the thing where we scream at the camera. And then it just started a domino effect where everyone started to do the whole rah at the camera. And it made for some really good social media content. But I also loved the TikTok wall where they had all the photos that were posted and taped. And I think he was even pointing out it was great that there's still tape in that area or some stuff that's still taped up there from Media Day. But I love the whole, there's that trend. Now I can't do it. You don't want me doing any TikTok dances, but the whole dip thing that's now the trend on TikTok. You just saw so many people having a lot of fun with it and getting prepared and everything in it. It made for some really good content.
Oh, 100%. And I like that, like, not only were, like, we getting content for, like, our social media pages, but the girls on the team were using it and doing it for themselves and, like, promoting themselves. And shout out Morgan Grzbowski. Like, her dip TikTok, like, went viral. But I would just love to see them, like, having fun with it as well.
You talk about one of the best people to interact with through this whole experience, and there's a long list of them. But the vice president for the student organization, because technically with club sports on campus, and it's not just at Alabama, it's similar ones, it's under the university's recreation system or campus rec, and it's not technically under athletics, so you've got it running as a student organization. So Morgan is the vice president, being Kiera Duffany. And you know, you talk about one of the great people to interact with. Just anytime Morgan sees us, whether we're getting out of the arena or we're looking beforehand and such, it's always a thank you, and it's always a deep appreciation, regardless of whoever it is on staff. But she also matches that. She's sweet and kind off the ice. She's intense when she's inside of the boards.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the amount of times you see her checking somebody or getting into it and the intensity and such, it's not like... it's not like two-faced, but it's like a kind of night and day thing of where, I mean, we all kind of have different roles and different masks we wear, but it's really kind of funny to see how intense she is on the ice. And then afterwards she's always like, oh, thank you so much, you guys are so amazing.
Exactly. You can kind of see when she puts the game face on.
Oh, yeah.
And the second she puts on the skates, it's just completely locked in.
Oh, yeah.
Just a completely different attitude.
Yeah, but speaking of which, and that is also matched by, so let's talk about that first set of games that happened. Bama had their home openers. It was back on September 14th and 15th. Both of those games against the Ice Dogs, University of Georgia, which fitting when this episode is published with Bama, Georgia playing in college football, and we'll probably talk about that later on. But Grzbowski, first goal in Alabama women's hockey history. We were scrambling on the broadcast booth because the Ethernet port decided, you know what, let's not work here. Let's cut off the connection in that regard. The footage exists, but there's no call or broadcast because I'm scrambling around trying to get the equipment set up. But I remember when we looked up and looked back at the footage from Morgan scoring it, and the scoreboard on here says 14:03 is when that first goal was scored. So not even 60 seconds into the game. It felt like it was quicker with how fast she was able to score on that. But you think anybody else deserves to get that first goal in team history? I can't think of anyone better than Morgan.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I really liked how fast the Alabama offense was going into that game, because that wasn't the only one within the first 3 minutes.
Yeah.
There was just back-to-back-to-back scores, and Alabama immediately showed up and kind of proved that they were, you know, this isn't, they might be new, but this isn't a team that you just walk over.
Mm-hmm.
And they even proved that further with this most recent win over High Point. But back to Georgia, I think that Alabama did an absolutely fantastic job. No bias. I mean, for a brand new program and their home opener, I mean, that's just impressive what they were able to do.
And there's so many times, Hannah, when you have these first weekends where you're wondering, how are things going to go? Like, what is this going to be, where it starts out on a low note, or do we kick off on a high note?
Right.
And when I look at the box score from that opening Saturday game, 6-1 at the end of the first, 4-1 at the end of the second, and then 5-0 shutout at the end of the third. Now, we haven't gotten a shutout game from any of the goaltenders. Like, Natalie Cutts hasn't quite gotten to that shutout yet.
Yeah.
Neither has Megan Jackson. And as you've seen this, and you even look at the NHL level, it is so hard to get a shutout, no matter what team you're playing in that regard. But I'm sure from your perspective on being ringside, because I know you were operating game clock during those games.
Yes.
Like, ringside, it had to be a whole lot of fun being right along the boards and seeing that stuff from essentially ice level.
Yeah, and seeing things like up close. I actually think Morgan's goal was scored within the first 11 seconds of the game. But that was something that was so crazy to me, to see that this whole team was coming out with this like fierce energy, and they, like Preston said, they just wanted to prove themselves that they weren't someone that any of these other teams were going to come and walk over because, oh, it's a new team, it's their first season in the league, whatever. But no, they fully wanted to prove themselves, and I think they did just that. And especially like with these closer games that they've had this past weekend, I know we're talking about Georgia right now, but this past weekend, it was, the intensity level in the arena was a lot heavier, and you could tell the girls wanted it just that much more. But I think these high scoring games against like Georgia that we saw, it's even harder because, like, even in the NHL, these teams, like you said, it's hard to get a shutout because these other teams who you're playing, once you score against them, they're coming back with just that much more energy and just that much more physicality on that level. And so to keep winning and keep up that score level, but also like play defense on a pretty high paced level, is, I think that's something that is really impressive and speaks volumes to who this team is and what they want to accomplish this season.
And what even was more not necessarily challenging, but impressive to me in the first weekend series, and we'll get into that Sunday game because there seemed to be a little more pressure on the Frozen Tide, but there's only one player who got a hat trick in that first game, and that was Samantha Lance. Rest of the teams came close. Grzybowski had two, Emily Scott had two, Claire Carson had a hat trick, excuse me on that. So Lance and Carson had hat tricks, but it also shows how many other players were getting involved. And if you look even deeper at the assists on those, it's very rarely have we seen throughout the season thus far that players have been unassisted on their goals, which, again, part of that is challenging too, because you have to weave through so many defenders and so many offensive lines players in that regard. But the fact that out of 15 goals, if my math is correct, 9 goals were scored by other personnel and or scored by people who didn't get up to that hat trick stat. And it's hard enough getting a hat trick for one, but it's also impressive to have so many people involved.
Yeah, and I know one of the things we talked about on the air when it came to some of the other teams was that they always seem to have like one impact player that can mostly score for them that they kind of rely on to attack on the offensive. Alabama, I think they have so much depth in their offense that most of the time it doesn't matter who's controlling the puck. They're going to find out a way to work together to get it in. And I think that teamwork is one of Alabama's strongest factors.
And then, you know, Hannah, Sunday, a little bit more of people kind of on the edges of their seat. Because you had box score of 2-0 in favor of the Crimson Tide. And then, now, on paper, the second period was a 6-2 scoring margin. And you would think, well, Alabama seemed to figure it out in that regard. But you had a lower scoring first period. Mm-hmm. Second period, Georgia scores one, or I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, Bama got two goals up to about 3-1, 4-1. Mm-hmm. Then Georgia scores that second one and goes 4-2, cuts it in half. Coaches call a timeout. We could see up from the press box. We look down, and Coach Laxton has got her whiteboard, and isn't screaming at them. She hadn't quite gotten the Nick Saban bug at this point. And I was joking with Coach Davis about this after the first game with penalties. I was like, you haven't gotten bit by the Nick Saban bug where you're up by so many points and trying to get the little mistakes corrected. But she's getting into it and furiously drawing on the whiteboard in a sense, being like, this game is still in our hands, but you guys need to tighten things up and rearrange things. And then 4-0 scoring run in the rest of that second period, and then 4-2 margin. So Bama didn't really have any worries in that sort of circumstance. But that was one of the moments that seemed to prepare them for their upcoming match, their following matchups against High Point. But I don't know about you, but it kind of had Preston and I a little bit of like, what's going on here? Is this going to be a 1-1 split series to start out their existence?
Yeah, no, I think part of it for me, when I was watching her get into it and when talking to the girls in that sense, was I think she knows what this team is capable of. And she just wants to see them execute everything to the best of their abilities, no matter what the score is in a game. Obviously, when you're losing, there's that, you're just determined that much more. But like when you're up still, you still want to critique those little things and figure them out. And I caught up with Coach Laxton after that first game, or second game, excuse me, on Saturday against Georgia. And she was like, yeah, we just need to fix like these little, like, the set plays on penalties and fixing the line and the transitions. But it was just little things like that. But she was like, overall, I'm extremely proud of this team, especially where they've came from. So I think it's little things like that where she knows what the team can do and what they can accomplish and what their overall goal is. And she wants to see them achieve that for them.
Yeah, and we're going to name drop Bonnie Laxton a whole bunch of times. I mean, you know, Nick Riniger and as well as Coach Davis and the rest of the assistant pieces they have behind him, all incredible. But you can see, especially because Anya is recently graduated from college and played at the collegiate level and won 2 back-to-back conference championships, knows what she's doing and knows what they talk about. And we've talked about this behind the scenes too, of that the players really listen to her when she's talking, and they really pay attention to her, and that's because they have a tremendous respect for the performance she's had on the ice, but the recent experience of that, she knows exactly what the players are going through.
Absolutely, and I think that one of the best things is the players' relationship with the coaches. I mean, Coach Laxton and Coach Davis both can really click with these girls, and I think that like one of the most important things that they can do with Laxton is their closeness and age. And, like, I've noticed that when she starts getting on her soapbox down there on the bench, they lock in. Like, I remember we saw her whip out the whiteboard, and she was just aggressively circling things and showing it at them and just, like, flashing it around. And I just saw nothing but heads nodding. Like, they just immediately understood. So the communication from the coaching staff to the students is absolutely really good.
And, again, another one of those people that you talk to her off of the ice, sweet as can be, one of the most kind people. Yeah. When it comes down to business, she takes care of it. So shout out to Anya in that regard. And she even was telling us she was shaken during those High Point games, or specifically the one on Friday night. So Alabama 2-0 up against High Point after the first period. And keep in mind, the High Point Panthers, not a team to mess around with. Conference champions from last year. And, you know, they lost a couple of players. There's a lot of questions of what identity do they have on the season? What is it that they're going to accomplish from here? And so 2-0, Bama was up. And then second period split 2-2. So 4-2 at that point. Third period, Bama got outscored 3-2. And it was mostly because of their freshman, you know, Hannah Frost, who was incredible. Anytime she got the puck, like really amazing in that regard. But with Georgia Frost scoring a goal in the second and in the third, just incredible in that sort of circumstance. Quick breaking of the fourth wall here. Preston's having to slip out here because he's out as work. So we started a little bit late, so he'll be back on future editions of the show. So breaking the fourth wall a little bit on that sort of circumstance. While he's doing that, I'll turn off his microphone just so we're not having audio loop back. But Hannah, on that first game, that's where Anya was telling us she was shaking on the bench. A lot of players were starting to seem a little bit stagnant after, because they couldn't even believe that that Georgia Frost had scored those goals and made those comebacks as she did, but there's also several penalties that were happening towards the end of the third, yeah. And once Frost got out of the penalty box, anytime you get her on the wing, she was dangerous to get scores against there. And,
yeah.
You know, Bama was never down in the game. They were always leading in some capacity, but mm-hmm. it still felt like Bama was trying to crawl back on Friday night.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the things I noticed as soon as Georgia Frost got on the ice was her speed and agility. She was weaving in and out of players, and also, like, she could get down the ice and back within a matter of seconds. So that was something that stood out to me. But I also think I equated, like, how I was feeling in, like, the last, like, 5 minutes of the game. Like, felt like watching, like, 4th and 31 all over again.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh, like, what's happening? As soon as, like, High Point pulled their goalie, too,
yeah.
I was like, this could go south.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, our girls were able to keep up the strong line of defense and attack. And, yes, there, like you said, there were some penalties on the ice towards the end. But I think that just shows how much determination and physicality that these girls are willing to put in on the ice in order to get another win in the win column.
Now, Sunday, it still felt it's a lot of, you know, low scoring game, felt just as intense, but a lot closer. And that was what I was talking to Coach Nick Reniger about before Friday's game, because we were just in the staff area near the ice benches, and I was waiting on Coach Davis, and I just talked to Nick and said, how do you think this game's going to go down, or how do you prepare for them to face off against teams that have a better record than the previous season? And Nick even said that they didn't really have any challenges in the spring, because you look at those scoring margins on their unofficial season, you had like 10-1 and 20-2 and those kind of margins where they weren't really battle tested. And even Coach Davis seemed not scared, but he seemed a little bit precautious, because Tuesday, he was asking Preston and I, did you guys have any major exams this week on your classes or anything? Because they only had 11 players at practice on Tuesday, because many of them were focused on exams. It just turned out to be, I guess, that time of the semester.
Yeah.
So they had kind of a late practice, and not as many players were able to get out to the ice. So, and I told him in between games the next day, I said, it didn't look like the lack of players at practice made a difference. But there were a lot of factors that went into what could have gone wrong. But it shows the adversity of this team and how poised they are as they head 4-0 on the rest of the season.
No, I agree. And I think going into the second game this weekend, I caught up with Morgan before the game again. And she was telling me, she was like, I feel like the intensity is going to be even stronger going into the second game, especially based on how close of a first game it was, how intense it got towards the end of the game. She was like, I'm almost a little more nervous going into this game, but she was like, I'm still, every time I put on my skates, I'm still so excited to be a part of this team and what this organization has become. So it was something that she was reminded of, like, in that she kind of like flips that switch to think of it in the positive aspect rather than being nervous and being like, oh, this could go the wrong way.
Yeah. And Sunday's game felt way more like an NHL game in the scoring margin, because you had, again, first period, 1-0. Alabama led scoreless in the second period, which almost, there were a couple of times it seemed like there was finally going to be some sort of, somebody was going to crack the net. And then, so that was Zahorchak who scored that first goal in the first period at about the 10-minute mark. And then third period, it was Addison Brown at 12:38 scored, and then you took about seven to eight minutes until Claire Carson finally. And that final shot, I couldn't believe it at first, because you had around the back. I think that was Zahorchak was going around the backside of the net, or one of her other teammates, and then pass in front. And you know, I know Preston, he said it best when he was looking back at the play on air, in that Carson was in the right place at the right time, and right when that pass was made, wide open space in between goalkeeper's pad and towards the right post. So perfect positioning on her part to get, you know, to get that goal in. And you know, there's so many times on, especially in ice hockey, where the pass has to go right, and in that case, it very much went right, and that's why Alabama's looking at 4-0 and not 3-1.
Yes, I agree, and I think that that specific goal, like you said, it literally looked like a play out of the NHL. Like, I was like stunned by like how precise the pass was and like the precision between, like you said, the goalie's pad and how Claire was able to get that shot off perfectly was just something that looked like it should have been a professional goal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was that's one of those shots that you just see in real time and it almost seems unbelievable. And then when it actually, you know, happens, you have to believe it because that's where you're hearing the horns go off in the stadium and the official giving the signal for the goal in that regard. So Alabama 4-0 to start out their campaign this season, that as well. And we would definitely be remiss if we did not mention the biggest news line that came out of this past weekend with High Point University with the series. Let me clarify, not the story that came out of High Point, but the story that was a result of that series for High Point University. We had a football player in attendance this past Saturday for both the men's and women's games, and you could tell Hollywood Williams was just having a ton of fun in watching the game, being on the benches. Now, the women's game, I think he left around the first period or halfway through the second period, so he kind of dipped out. But the entire time, he was on the bench for the men's game, and he, even though he's a football player and maybe, you know, the not necessarily sure what, you know, if he has a deep-rooted history with watching ice hockey through his youth, but that was fun to watch, especially with the ceremonial puck drop and everything. Just so many people were incredibly excited with it, and you know, shout out to, of course, the PR team, you know, Mia Perez and the rest of the staff who had to work essentially overnight to get out graphics and promotions and get those TikTok recorded videos arranged and everything, because it was one of those they learned about it Sunday night, like Monday morning of, hey, this is actually happening. He's staying for the game. So it was a scramble last week, but it really seemed like it worked pretty well on Saturday.
No, I agree for sure. And I think that like one of the biggest things that stuck out to not only the men's team, but the women's too, is how much fun he was seeming to have. He was so into coaching them and like helping the coaches and being there when like they were doing their warm-ups and being on the bench and just like getting to experience it. Like obviously he gets to experience that kind of stuff on the football field with the Boar, with Jalen Milroe and those kinds of teammates, but I think being on a team that you're not typically a part of is a whole different level of like noticing different aspects of how coaches coach and what players take from their coaches and how they implement it into their game. And I think that just watching him and seeing how big of a smile he had on his face and how excited he was to be there interacting with fans was just a really cool experience.
Absolutely. And again, 4-0 start. Congratulations to the women's team on getting to this point, especially with starting out their program and starting it out in the right way by not only facing a team that's with the University of Georgia. We talked about it on our broadcast of how they are still trying to find their identity because they were the number 2 seed last year in the women's division, got upset by South Carolina in the semifinal, and then just have seemed deflated from this point where, because they have gone winless since that that semifinal, lost to the consolation game in the tournament last year, and now essentially 0-4 since that point. But going against High Point University and the struggles that they have also had, they've had in trying to conference champions in that regard. So certainly they had the right momentum going into the season, but came into Pelham trying to find some wins or show on the road to make a statement that they, and you know, they also had their star freshman, the name is slipping me right now, but their star freshman recruit they had from last year who transferred out to North Carolina State, and they're playing them this weekend for their home series, for their home opener in Greensboro. So a lot of challenges with the High Point Panthers and trying to figure things out, especially starting out their season 0-2, but Alabama 4-0 on their season opener, and a lot of great festivities throughout the first two weekends too. It was a lot of fun. I know Preston is not here, but one of the other things we were going to do with this podcast is at the end of each of the shows, we're going to preview the next series, but we're going to save that for next week since this weekend we've got something more prevalent. So our goal is to talk about some sort of odd topic or one that doesn't have to do with hockey in that regard. Now, if we had Preston here and we had some other guests here, we would have a lively debate in that regard, but I think it's fair for this odd topic or out there is to talk about this weekend's game. Because obviously we're at the capstone. College football is at the focus in the backdrop of Reese Pfeiffer is the cathedral of college football. So Alabama, Georgia face off number 2 versus number 4 on the AP polls, not on the college football polls at this point, but monolith of a matchup. I know I have a student ticket. I would be surprised if you don't.
I do.
Yeah. So we're going to be in the student section this weekend, but how nervous are you heading into this weekend's game?
I don't know if nervous is the right way to describe my emotions. I would say I'm excited and I'm anticipating a close game.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm nervous. I think after watching SEC Championship last year, I was actually in Atlanta for that game,
and
being around Georgia fans, and I know how they act, and I know how our fans act. Like, it's a good divide, I would say. So I think it's going to be fun, and I think the atmosphere in Bryant-Denny this weekend at Saban Field is going to be absolutely insane.
We were on our way to the arena last week. Had Preston in the car. Jaden was with us too, and Aunt Annie, and we were talking about the game, and Preston said that he feels it's going to go down one of two ways. He thinks it's going to be a close game that goes one way or the other, or he feels that the Crimson Tide are going to blow out Georgia. He doesn't see a scenario where Georgia blows us out in that regard, which would be great if we don't have to, you know, necessarily deal with that. But I think it I was talking again with people too. I'm more comfortable with an undefeated Georgia coming to town than a losing to Kentucky Georgia team coming to town, because yes, there would be a lot more frustration and motivations behind the Georgia Bulldogs for them coming into Tuscaloosa to try and save their college football playoff life,
yeah,
in essence. So I think this could be a preview of a CFP matchup. I think whether it's quarterfinal, semifinal, or even a national championship, depending on how seeding works out, I think it's a preview of that. I think whoever loses this game does not automatically get eliminated from the CFP, as long as they control their own destinies and keep winning out with the way that the CFP rankings go. But I think it's especially great because first time in, I think it's 6-7 years in the regular season, these two have faced off. And we all know the story about the many times they faced off in the SEC Championship and the CFP National Championship and how intense those matchups have always been. But, you know, I'm just excited for how fun of an atmosphere it's going to be this weekend. You know, college game day is coming to town, so I'll be, you know, lingering around for that. You know, the former president and current candidate Donald Trump is going to be in town, so you're going to have a lot of people cracking up. A lot of celebrities, politicians. I wouldn't be surprised because the NBA season hasn't started yet. What do you bet Charles Barkley shows up?
Even though he's an Auburn fan,
I'm sure he'll be lingering around. There'll be other celebrities. But it's now this is the, like last year with Texas, this is the game to be at in the SEC, or college football in that regard, and should be a lot of fun.
I've heard a lot of people say or talk about it as the game of the year across any league, but I also have heard that Good Morning America is coming this weekend.
Oh, man.
They'll be on the quad on Friday morning, so I think it's just going to be a super fun weekend, and I hope it's not a close game. I mean, I don't want to get too high on my horse, but I'm interested to see if Alabama does win what the AP poll rankings look like after this weekend.
Yeah, well, certainly Bama would have to go above Georgia. That's a given if it happens out that way. But I know last year with the CFP poll, they moved Georgia all the way down from 1 to 5, which I don't know if it's going to go down that way. Depends on if it's a close matchup or if it's a one-sided game. But, certainly it's similar to how you couldn't put Alabama over Texas on the CFP rankings last year with how that head-to-head matchup happened. But I think, I don't know how it plays out. I don't know if it just goes to 3 and 4 or if it's one of those. You think Bama's better than Texas right now?
I don't know. I said this all last season. I think towards the end of our season, Alabama was a completely different football team than when we played Texas in the second week of the season. So I think if we would have played Texas in the playoffs, I think the game would have been a completely different story.
Sure.
And I would be interested to see how we would play them if we were to play them in a couple weeks.
That's the other problem too, is you also have great teams like Ohio State and Texas in the top rankings. You just don't know how that stuff is going to play out. It also depends on how, because I believe Texas and Ohio State are not on bye weeks this week, if I'm not mistaken. So they have their respective games. So it also depends on how they perform against whoever they're facing. I don't have the schedule in front of me right now, but it's, again, one of those where there's a lot of moving parts that go into it. But I tell you, it's to be on this campus when you have those intense games and everything, it's pretty. Annie was trying to show us something from behind the screen. I can't say it again. Is it? Michigan State and Ohio. Is that? Oh, okay. Yeah. So you got Michigan and Ohio State. Who's Texas playing? Are they on a bye week this week? Is the producer Annie trying to help us with that sort of thing? Even though we literally have computers in front of us, but.
Yeah.
Mississippi. Okay. So you got SEC versus SEC and the Mississippi State side, even though MSU's not ranked, I don't think, or they're not in the AP polls.
No.
So they're not on there. So it depends on how one sided that is. And then Michigan State also isn't ranked. So it might be, you know, a lot of speculation, which we're not the ones who vote on that. So we don't have to worry about that. We just get to enjoy a fun set of college football games all throughout this weekend for Friday and Saturday, so
yes.
It should be a lot of fun. But yeah, that's our edition of an odd topic that we'll discuss. And again, as Preston isn't pressed for time in future episodes, and as we have more you know fluidity going through the season, whenever we get guests on, we're definitely going to have a lot more of these fun odd topics. We talked about some fun things that we want to bring on the show. Maybe some friendships ruined by some debates on that. That regard. So, but any final thoughts before we wrap up this first edition of the Frozen Hour?
I think going into, obviously we said we're going to preview the South Carolina games next week. Going into those games, I'm excited to see how these girls perform on the road. We haven't seen that from them yet, and that's something I'm interested to see if that's something that's going to change their style of play or if they're going to stick to what they do at home.
Do you know yet if you're traveling on the road with the team this year?
I don't believe I am.
Okay. Yeah, I know they said that Preston and I will be there on the broadcast side. Like our manager, Savannah, she mentioned that usually on the roads, she's operating the camera. So that's going to be a bare bones three-person crew in that sort of circumstance. So that's going to be a lot of fun for us in terms of trying to make those things work on the when we're outside of Pelham. But No, it should be a lot of fun, and you mentioned it with South Carolina. Again, haven't played on the road at this point, first road game, so it'll be interesting to see how that factors in. Because you've got, I think when we were looking at High Point's record, they were 2-2 on the road as well on their regular season campaign, and they had a couple of canceled games, but all of those were at home. So they split on the road, and they were undefeated in the Greensboro Ice House. So right now, undefeated in Pelham at the Pelham Civic Center, and trying to keep that record going to potentially go to 6-0 as they head to out to Greensboro or in the good old North South Carolina area, that sort of regard. So that wraps up our first episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. Next week, we will try to get some sort of special guest on for episode 2 as we preview the South Carolina matches, talk about what we've seen. I'm sure we'll probably talk about the Georgia-Bama game in some capacity.
Yes.
We'll have some other conversations in that regard. But again, Preston had to bolt out because of work commitments, but he will be back with us next week. We'll hopefully have some other guests on in that regard. But for Anna Alpern, our producer Andy Sakalis on the other side of the camera, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly, I'm Spencer Thompson saying so long here from Pelham. Episode 1 of the Frozen Hour. Actually, from Tuscaloosa, I said Pelham, but from the backdrop of Pelham, in a sense. Episode 1 of the Alabama Frozen Hour is under wraps.